Jim White is a columnist with The Telegraph. The Telegraph was the paper that ran, the Daily Telegraph was the paper that ran the sting that cost Sam Allardyce's job. And we're very pleased to be joined by Jim White of The Telegraph. Jim, thank you for joining us on The Jeff Blair Show. You know, Sam Allardyce got this job despite the fact he already had a bit of a reputation as a guy who liked money, didn't he?
He did indeed. There'd been an exposure by the BBC in 2006 of some, let's say, dodgy transfer dealings involving Sam Allardyce. But he was exonerated at the time, although he didn't sue the BBC for its allegations. And that had been the only official exposure of Sam Allardyce up to this point. I'd just say one quick thing there, Jeff. There's a reason for that. Is that in England, the Football Association, which is the presiding body, the one that makes sure all the rules and regulations are kept up to speed, doesn't have the money for much in the way of investigation. And it tends to be a reactive body, and it waits until the press, the media, come up with the stories before it puts its stringent regulations into place.
Look, this is a guy who is making, I believe, $3 to $4 million U.S. doing this job. It's a dream job. It's a job I would imagine, well, I don't know if every manager in the U.K. would want it right now because some have turned it down. But, I mean, it's a job that you can aspire to in that profession. Why, you know, if you're making $4 million, you know, you've got a good lifestyle, why would you throw it all away talking to people you've never met before? Like, this is the thing that surprises me. You know, to go into a situation where you're talking to people you don't know and kind of willingly break the law or break the mores, the accepted mores of your profession, it just makes no sense. It really doesn't.
It makes no sense to me either, particularly as when Sam Allardyce took on the job, he spoke of the fact that he was finally realizing his life's ambition. He talked about the dignity, the honor, and the prestige of the position. And yet, within moments, it seems, he was trying to work out ways in which he might monetize the position. Now, let me just fill in a little thing there.
Okay.
One thing that's happening in England at the moment is that there is a huge amount of interest from Far Eastern investors. China, for instance, Chinese investors have just bought four clubs in the English Championship. They are very, very keen to get their money in. And I think the words Far Eastern and businessmen are like catnip to people within the game. Their eyes suddenly see nothing but dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the significant problem. And so we get into a situation where, as you say, this is somebody he's never met before, and he's already discussing ways in which he might make ready cash from them. What I find even more extraordinary than that is, you know, there is such a thing as Google. I mean, does nobody do due diligence anymore? Do you not tap in the names of these guys?
Yes.
And discover that actually, you know, they aren't Far Eastern businessmen. There are a couple of blokes posing as that.
In conversation with Jim White of The Telegraph, the other aspect of this I find remarkable is that his agent was involved.
That's right. There's a whole group of them, the agent, his financial advisor, all sorts of them were involved. And apparently they got a tip-off. How my colleagues here got to Sam Allardyce is that they were involved with an agent who was an old friend of his, and they got a tip-off that he was perhaps willing to speak to them. And so Sam was, to a degree, led in towards the bear trap by his old friend. But that is no excuse. Someone along the lines should have put these guys' name into Google. I mean, it's beyond belief to me.
Now, part of this investigation, we're led to believe, has also revealed or will reveal that other managers have been involved, maybe not to the same level as Sam Allardyce. But, you know, it's funny. I remember talking to, this is a long time ago, I remember talking to a friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine, who was an agent who started to represent managers and coaches in baseball and hockey. And I made the point to him that, man, I said, I thought it was a slippery slope when agents get involved with coaches and managers get into conflict of interest. And he said, you know, one of the reasons people need to understand it's important to pay managers and coaches well is that it prevents the possibility of them being approached by, and in this case, it was talking about gambling, which I think is a real underreported problem, especially in North America. And, you know, when I hear that there are other managers who may be involved in this, you know, Jim, it kind of makes me reassess my position when I see somebody like Jose Mourinho getting whatever it is, $12 million, or Pep Guardiola gets $12 million, and I kind of roll my eyes. It kind of makes me reassess my position there.
The thing is, enough is never enough. That's the fundamental bottom line. There is a assumption within certain people of a certain generation in English football that everybody is making money apart from them. And that has driven a lot of dark side of accepting bribes. There's always money around, and yet they're not earning it, and they feel that they're the ones who should be earning it. But as you say, you know, if you're earning £3 million a year, surely that is sufficient to make you incorruptible.
I think we may have dropped the phone line, guys. Yeah, we dropped the phone line. You know what? We've only got a couple of minutes left, Travis, so if we can... do we have it back? We have Jim back? Okay, there you go. Sorry, Jim. I thought we dropped the phone line.
Sorry, yeah. I don't know if you missed that. It probably wasn't worth catching, but...
go ahead. Repeat.
I thought £3 million quid a year made you incorruptible, but clearly not. Enough is never enough.
Where does the FA go next now? I mean, Gareth Southgate is going to handle the club on an interim basis. He's, I think, already said he really didn't want the job, but... Boy, they've got to, I mean, the next hire's got to go through the vetting process to end all vetting processes, doesn't he?
I mean, it's an interesting one, this. I think one of the reasons you were talking earlier about whether Allardyce should never have been given the job in the first place because, you know, there were warning signals, and if due diligence had been done, maybe he shouldn't have got the job in the first place. The problem is there's a very, very shallow pool of English talent. And the FA has said we want an Englishman to run the country's national team rather than a foreign coach. And there just ain't that number out there who can do it. And I think Gareth Southgate's been given 4 games, and they will be looking around. I think one of the things I may be naive on this, but I think one of the things we can say is the next generation of coaches who have always come through in the big money era may be cleaner pairs of hands. So you're talking about Eddie Howe, Sean Dyche, Michael Appleton at Oxford United, these kind of guys coming through. The trouble is with them, of course, is they haven't got any experience.
Right.
It's a big gamble. They may not be any good.